Hello and welcome to the Natural History Podcast. Since the last episode, which was a while ago, I've had some time to think, and in between filling in sinkholes and writing up a business plan, I feel a change of direction is in order. At the moment, the episodes are a bit random, and unless you already have an idea of the chronology of natural history, it may be a bit confusing. So we are going to start from the start. The Big Bang and work our way up to early humans. My original thought on the podcast was to do between 10 and 15 full-length episodes outlining each geological period in one go. This would not be very audibly pleasant. So we shall be breaking up the periods and having many episodes per geological period. That way I can change the subject but also keep on the timeline of chronology. Sorry it has taken me this long to figure it out, but sometimes you just need to try things. The beginning. When I was a child in the 90s, in the UK, I would turn the TV on, and if you flicked over to another channel that wasn't 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, which did eventually arrive, you would get a picture of black and white fuzz, and an incessant hissing noise, which never relented. This noise brings back many memories of me sitting through it and trying to tune my Nintendo 64. Static it was called, and it was just something that was. And if I had probed a little more, I may have found out that it had a name. The Cosmic Microwave Background. This is the first record of the universe. Your TV is actually picking up radiation that was created in the aftermath of the Big Bang. I like to believe it is a cosmic fossil. No, it doesn't meet the criteria we set out 2 episodes ago of being life preserved in Earth. But there was no Earth. There was no life. And the Big Bang is the beginning of it all. In an age when everything is going online, it feels appropriate that there is a fossil you can't hold or see without the assistance of technology. The Big Bang is where it all began, 13.7 billion years ago. And yes, we are still using the American billion. So we have nothing. No podcasts, rocks, no light, just darkness. Lots and lots of darkness. Which raises a question. Does complete darkness even exist? Who knows? But then, there was a bang. A very big bang, and it created everything. Everything at the time, however, consisted of matter, which is the Lego of real life. Antimatter was also created at the same time, and when antimatter and matter combined, they both disappeared. Nobody knows where they went, but the hunt was on. Antimatter was going around gobbling up matter, and they were both disappearing for good. The observant among you may have realised that this is going to cause a problem. Because if we have an equal balance of matter and antimatter, nothing is going to exist, because everything will cancel everything out. However, we sit here listening to this podcast, and so we know how the story goes. But it was a close call. Only 1/1,000,000,000th of 1% of matter that was created during the Big Bang survived. If the balance was equal, nothing would be here right now, not even the universe. In which case, it probably wouldn't have mattered. 1 second after the Big Bang and all the matter had done its own thing, the universe had expanded to 100 billion kilometers. It began to cool down, and what was left began to form into the first elements, hydrogen and helium. At this point, not much was really going on. Gravity was slowly pulling together these early elements and began to form into clouds. As these clouds grew bigger, so did their gravitational pull, until eventually there was such pressure from within, the gas clouds ignited and a star was born. And this is what all stars are, big balls of gas that have just caught fire. The early stars, and all stars since, began by burning hydrogen in a process called nuclear fusion. Nuclear fusion is essentially an element factory, because you will remember that in the beginning only hydrogen and helium were created. So there is a shortfall of elements in the universe currently. No oxygen, no gold, no, well, nothing but hydrogen and helium. Which doesn't really make for an exciting party, because there's no balloons. So, the process begins. Hydrogen is burnt in the core of the sun. This creates an outward pressure, which is matched by the inward pressure of gravity. And we have these two forces fighting each other constantly, but it's in a nice balance. And so the sun can exist in a stable, well, semi-stable manner. Now the hydrogen in the core is under incredible heat and pressure. And we are talking about millions of degrees Celsius. Our sun's core is 15 million degrees. Under these conditions, hydrogen molecules burn up, but at the same time, they fuse together. Once all of the hydrogen is burnt, the sun is no longer creating the outward pressure, and so the gravity takes over and the sun collapses in on itself. The collapse of the sun creates such pressure within, the helium in the star will then ignite. Now, you may ask, where has the helium come from? Well, some of it, of course, is left over from the Big Bang, but more has actually been produced from within the sun when the hydrogen was burning, because when it was burning, the molecules of hydrogen were fusing together. And when we have two hydrogen molecules fused together, we create helium. So, the sun starts to implode and the helium ignites. And the same thing happens again, only with helium. The helium will burn up at the centre of the sun, and as it is burning, the molecules will begin to fuse together. Once all of the helium has been burnt and fused, the sun collapses and reignites the newly created elements within. This time it is lithium. And this keeps happening over and over again, creating ever more complicated elements. A star is effectively an element factory. Each stage gets hotter and shorter until we reach iron. Now, iron tips with balance of energy. All elements before, when fusing together, produce more energy than they consume. The most energy producing being hydrogen, and from there slowly decreasing in the energy output until we reach iron. And then we get to a stage where more energy is needed to be put in to fuse the elements than we can get out. At this point, when iron is created in the core, the star collapses as usual, only this time it doesn't reignite. It just condenses massively and then explodes into the largest explosion in the universe known as a supernova. And this is how matter and elements generally are spread all over the universe, through many, many, many explosions. Gold, silver, platinum, which you may own, I would encourage you to have a look and hold it now if you do. Because this, what you hold in your hand now, was created in the death of a star, somewhere in the vast depths of space. Subject to 100 billion degrees, transported hundreds, maybe thousands of billions of light years in the form of rocks and dust, to sit in our solar system until it was caught in the creation of the Earth, and then it was extracted from the ground by humans, to sit in your hand now. What is the chances of that happening? If anything, it is an incentive to go and buy a lottery ticket. So, we have our sun and our solar system, which is the area around our sun, but no planet. It is a rather lonely place for our sun, but it's going to create some friends. First, it's going to invite lots of dust over and gas, and then lock the door. In this case, the door is gravity. And to get a rough idea of gravity, just imagine a bowling ball sitting on a trampoline, and then lots of marbles rolling around it. Once the gas and dust is trapped, it is going to float around and begin to amass into clouds. These clouds are made up of all sorts of elements from dead stars. The dust begins to collect and grow bigger, like a ball of lint. This, over time, gets bigger and becomes more dense, eventually turning into rock. As these rocks orbit the sun, they collect more dust and smaller rocks, growing ever larger all the while. This explains why all the planets are nicely spaced, because they sucked in everything around them. It would be a bit like if you had a line of magnets and two just got too close together, they would be sucked towards one another, and there would be a bigger gap either side of them. Knowing all that, we can safely say that the Earth is literally an amalgamation of space detritus. When the planets are growing, we have these large rocks all orbiting the Sun in both directions. It is a rather chaotic scene. Rocks going fast, rocks going slow, colliding, exploding, amalgamating. But in the end, out of the chaos came order. Eight planets and the downgraded Pluto. Poor Pluto. They all spin in an anti-clockwise direction, and it has been noted that all stars all over the universe have a preferred direction for their planet stroke enslaved friends to spin. The only exception is Venus, which orbits clockwise and nobody knows why. And of course we all have one of those odd friends. Interestingly, the asteroid belt is what the whole of our solar system used to look like. It is a relic of that time before all the planets were created. And it's basically the remnants of rock that was never turned into a planet, so it still just sits there, in limbo. Now let's take a step back and look at the universe. We have had a big bang, where the universe was created. Out of that we had two elements, hydrogen and helium. They formed the first star, which allowed more complex elements to be created. Our Sun is just one of many stars out there, and it is what has created our local planets. Now we are left with the Earth, a big fiery ball of rock. And finally, we can begin to discuss what we all came here for in the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Natural History Podcast. Thank you.